right, welcome back. We are ready to dive into the content for week 9, which is advanced limit setting. You can skip ahead 2 pages. We'll come back to homework. So they actually have a play session example here that we will talk through. And we have often used play session examples so that it's real world, practical. What can you anticipate may come up in those special play times? So in this scenario, you have already stated several times that the Play-Doh is not for playing with, or sorry, that the Play-Doh is for playing with on the tray, but the child is dumping it on the floor. So in this scenario, limit has already been set multiple times. So at this point, you use ACT as always. I know that you want to play with the Play-Doh over there, or I know that you're having fun putting it on the floor. So you're acknowledging the feeling, then you communicate the limit, but the floor is not for putting Play-Doh on. Remember, A is not for B, neutral, factual, very calm, rational limit. Then you target the alternative, the T in the ACT. The tray is for putting the Play-Doh on, or the Play-Doh is for playing with on the tray. So there's your ACT process, reminder from week 4, all those weeks ago. At this moment, child is completely ignoring you and then begins smashing the Play-Doh on the floor. So now it has escalated to, we're not just playing with it on the floor, now we're actually smashing it in. And I would argue this is probably in a carpeted area if it's that much of a concern that warrants a limit. So the sheet, the rug, the carpet, something that should not have Play-Doh in it. As a related aside, I have 2 or 3 parents right now that never, ever, ever, ever have Play-Doh in their house for this very reason. And they're having such a hard time with these playtimes because their kids are like loving having the Play-Doh. So it's just been interesting to talk through that with them because they have this really big concern about Play-Doh because it is a mess and it cakes on stuff and you can't get it out and it leaves little remnants everywhere. And so there's all kinds of Play-Doh stories that we're talking through right now. So at this point, the child is now smashing Play-Doh in the carpet. So you can restate the limit 3 times. That's a pretty helpful rule and guideline to follow. Set the limit 3 times using that ACT process. If after the 3rd opportunity, and I use the word opportunity there on purpose, because remember, I mean, we've said this again and again, we want the child to choose to obey. We have to give them the time and the space to make that decision. It's always easy, and I would argue we did that before we understood CPRT principles. It's easy to jump in and go, okay, give me the Play-Doh. That took the decision out of it for them. That took the obedience out. That took the choice out. So it's easy to just swoop in and take care of the problem. But if we give our child space to hear the choice, process the choice, obey the limit, that is what we want, because that's when they develop self-control and self-regulation. So we do have to be patient sometimes when we set limits. So we restate the limit 3 times. Then you move into if-then choices. So the if-then choices allow for the child to know if this, then this, if this, then this. We'll talk through that in just a minute. So when you use the if-then choice-giving method, this is how you fuse ACT limit setting with using choices to address problematic behavior. So remember, limit setting week 4, ACT. Limit setting language week 5. Choice giving week 6. So if we kind of mold all those into one, then we combine ACT with choices, but it becomes an if-then choice, which is what we call ultimate or advanced limit setting. So the note is, pay attention to the number of times the word choose is used. So it is very important to use purposeful, intentional language so that the child can bring him or herself under control. It is not about us enforcing something, it is about the child choosing to comply. So here is ACT fused with if-then choices. If you choose to play with the Play-Doh on the tray, you choose to play with the Play-Doh today. If you choose to continue to play with the Play-Doh on the floor, you choose not to play with the Play-Doh today. And then they encourage you to pause. Now remember, this should never be used unless ACT has already been followed. So at this point, remember, you've already stated the limit three times. So ACT once, ACT twice, ACT three times, then you say, if you choose this, then you choose this. Notice, if you choose to play with the Play-Doh on the tray, that is the choice that is compliant, you choose to play with the Play-Doh, meaning the consequence of choosing to play with it in an appropriate location is you continue to have it. The negative is if you choose to continue to play with it on the floor, then you choose not to play with the Play-Doh. So there's the negative option with the negative consequence. So you do want to give them a moment. That's why they encourage you to pause there. You can restate that if they don't choose to comply with the limit. However, sometimes in this scenario, if you understand you've given the child enough time to process and this is just becoming a power struggle or a battle of the wills, sometimes they'll just get completely silent, which means I'm not making a choice. So I'm not going to give you a yes or a no. I'm not going to comply or not comply. I'm just going to ignore you. That can happen. Be prepared for that option. That is a choice. That is the beauty of this program and the language used and the CPRT intention in the way that things are phrased, because by not choosing, that is a choice. So you respond with, it looks like you've chosen to put the Play-Doh up for today, because the child ignored you and continued to play with the Play-Doh on the floor. That was a choice. So then you can use another choice. You can choose to give me the Play-Doh, or you can choose for me to put the Play-Doh up for you. Which do you choose? So it's very clear that the child owned the outcome because of the decision that was made. Now, at that point, I suspect the child will start to cry and say, okay, I'll put it on the tray, and negotiate and try to give you all the reasons why it'll be fine. Beg for the Play-Doh, you know, no, I won't do it anymore, I promise. It's just the way it goes. It's universal. You don't have to teach them. So you will at this point follow through. This is where the consistency is crucial. This is where enforcing the outcome that was chosen is imperative. That goes back to our rule of thumb. If there's no limits, there's no security. So when a choice has been made, your role is to just enforce whatever that was. You can certainly reflect the feeling, though. I know you wish you would have chosen to play with it on the tray. I know you're unhappy that you chose to not have Play-Doh today, but you can choose to play with it next time. Remember, we always remind them that they can make a different choice at the next opportunity. We don't want this to be defeating. We don't want this to be overwhelming. We don't want this to make them feel deflated and that they, you know, will never recover from this. They get another opportunity to try again. Every day is a new day. That's why consequences never carry over from one day to the next. Every opportunity for a new chance to choose differently is important to communicate. So that would be how you would handle it if the child chooses not to comply with the limit. So ACT up to three times. If you choose X, you choose Y. If you choose Z, you choose A. I ran out of letters. And then you will let them decide based on the positive choice, positive consequence, negative choice, negative consequence. Okay, now, if at any point in this whole scenario, the child took the Play-Doh and put it on the tray, that is also very clear the choice that they're making. So you respond matter-of-factly. That is crucial. Because if we say, oh, you chose to put it on the tray, it becomes very clear that that is what you wanted them to do. And it's about what you think about the choice that they made. So it's very important, and this is noteworthy, it is important to validate and acknowledge the positive choice as well. We get caught up in acknowledging when they've chosen the negative, but it is just as important to say, I see you've chosen to keep playing with the Play-Doh today because you chose to put it on the tray. They have to hear that that was the choice they made and that's the outcome that they chose, whether it's positive or negative. It's reinforcing of the decision-making and the power of making a choice and accepting the consequence. So You do respond matter-of-factly, though. Just like you would respond matter-of-factly when they choose not to have the Play-Doh. It's not, okay, well, I see you've chosen not to have the Play-Doh for the rest of the day. There's no reason for you to be emotionally charged. Your only job is to acknowledge what choice the child made. That shouldn't influence your emotions whatsoever. Thermostat, not a thermometer, remember? So all we are doing is serving in the role of following up with what the child chose. So we can acknowledge either choice completely matter-of-factly and neutrally. That's very important. Okay, so I think that should help you understand what this looks like and how you kind of combine those two skills of limit setting and choice giving together when the child is not able to comply with the limit. So let's do a little bit of practice. So child aims dart gun at you. This is an example that we use a lot because A, that happens in playtimes a lot. B, it's consistent. So we can see how we understand the ACT process of this limit. Now let's look at how we would set it with the ultimate choice giving and limit setting. So I know you'd like to shoot me. That's the acknowledge the feeling, the A. Communicate the limit, but I'm not for shooting, people aren't for shooting, whatever you choose to phrase for the limit there. And then all the alternative, you can choose to shoot at the Bobo or the bop bag or the stuffed animal or whatever would be appropriate. Now, flip the page. Here's the scenario where you would move on to the advanced limit setting. Child is continuing to aim the gun at you after you've already set the limit three times and or they have actually shot towards you or at you or hit you with it. So then you move to your if-then advanced limit setting choices. So positive, positive, negative, negative. Five times using the word choose. I'm going to reiterate that throughout all of these choice giving weeks and limit setting weeks because it is not the same thing if you say, if you aim the gun at me, you're not going to play with it anymore. It is also not the same thing to say, if you do that again, you're going to lose it. We're communicating the same message. There are consequences for your actions. But the previous two are threatening and they are authoritative and they come across as I'm the dictator who is in charge of your behavior, so comply or there are problems coming. That teaches the child nothing about self-responsibility. So if you choose, then you choose. If you choose, then you choose. Which do you choose? Five choose words in there on purpose every single time. It's very important. Remember, week five, I can't let you paint the walls in here. It's probably not a good idea to paint the walls in here, and how all of those messages could be misconstrued and misunderstood. Words are powerful and meaning is derived from words. So we have to use a very purposeful phrasing here for it to be most effective. So if you choose to aim the gun at me, then you choose not to play with the gun. If you choose to aim the gun at the Bobo, aim the gun at the target, aim the gun at the wall, or if you choose not to aim the gun at me, either one, because you could say the positive or the negative of that. So you can choose to aim somewhere else, or you can choose not to aim it at me. That's the positive. Then you choose to continue to play with the gun. So you can see, you get positive to positive, negative to negative, which do you choose? So if your child aims and shoots the gun at you, you have a line there, you would say what? Remember, your only job is to matter-of-factly acknowledge what the child chose. So in the above scenario, if the child chose to aim the child chose what? To not get to play with the gun. So then child aims and shoots the gun at you, you say, I see you've chosen not to play with the gun today. Okay, alternatively, if your child puts the gun down or aims at the wall or aims at the ceiling or in some way makes it very clear they're choosing not to aim it at you anymore, then you would say, looks like you've chosen to play with the gun today, or looks like you've decided to shoot that, or looks like you chose to aim it somewhere else so that you could play with it. So same response, it's just acknowledging either the positive consequence or the negative consequence. Notice my tone of voice didn't change, my emotions didn't change. It stays completely matter of fact and calm. I see that you've chosen this. Remember back to the cookies, choices, and kids stories and the choice giving in week 6. We would always choose for our children to have the things that matter to them that they want. We would have chosen for them to continue to play with the gun. We would have chosen for them to continue to use the Play-Doh. We would have chosen for them to have whatever it is that they want to play with. But they chose not to if they chose to continue the behavior that a limit had been set on. So our only job is to say, I see that you've chosen this outcome. All right, so with your therapist this week and in your live synchronous groups, you will be able to talk through the number 2 there, where there's a situation in which you think you might need to set a limit during the play session. And if you set the limit, that you might believe the child has an issue with complying. So write in a situation, write in the ACT, and write in your if-then statements, and then you can process that with your therapist this week, and you can kind of dialogue about what that would look like, and you can confirm that you used the skills effectively there. So whatever the play session might bring, is there a limit that you'll set? And if so, is there a limit that the child may have a hard time complying with? And if you're having a hard time even coming up with a situation that might apply for, then go ahead and just brainstorm that in your groups with your therapist this week as well. So that is the example on the practice side of this. Now we're going to move into some limit setting outside of the play session. And we're still talking about limit setting. We are still processing the if-then choices. So this is continuation after practice, which usually we do the information first and then practice later. But this is taking it beyond the play session, because those examples were all in-session scenarios. This is when you're able to use this in normal everyday parenting moments. So if you turn the page, you'll see generalizing limit setting to outside the play session. Basically, you are still following the exact same process, ACT, if then, which do you choose? But these are scenarios where it's just in everyday life, what will come up and then how will you handle it? So the scenario is, your child finds a hidden stash of candy, they already have the piece in their hand, they're starting to unwrap it, and it's very close to dinner time. So at that point, it becomes very clear, okay, you know what? I think that it's probably not a good idea to have a piece of candy right before dinner. Or at the very least, you maybe want to set a limit on when they can eat it. It's not that you don't want them to have it, but it's just close to dinner. Piece of candy to me is not a dinner spoiler, but for some kids, you know, if they eat junk all day long, they'll just say, oh, I'm not hungry after they've had candy. So in this scenario, you would want to set a limit on the candy. So start with A. You're going to acknowledge the feeling, I know you'd really like to have the candy. He learns and understands, I feel things and they are always understood and heard and validated. That in and of itself is enough often to diffuse the intensity of the need or the feeling, just to know that someone has heard them. That's why we've started week 1 with reflecting feeling. That's why we've been practicing it all of these weeks. Then you communicate the limit, but candy is not for eating before dinner. So I'm acknowledging that you want to. Here's the neutral limit. You offer the alternative. You can choose to have a piece of fruit now and choose to have candy after dinner. Now, I personally would not use that choice because to me, candy is far less filling than a piece of fruit. So that seems a little counterintuitive to me. I would actually say you can choose to have the candy after dinner if you choose to eat your dinner. That would be the choice that I would give, but in this scenario, they're offering you can choose to have something healthy before dinner and then have the candy after dinner. So my guess is the intent behind that is I don't want you to eat something unhealthy. So fruit could be considered part of dinner. You know, if you have sliced peaches with dinner or like that becomes part of your meal. So you can have fruit now, candy later. It's almost like eat your dinner before you have dessert. So I think that's what the intent there was, but I would actually just personally handle that choice a little differently. I would say you can choose to have dinner, you can choose to have candy after dinner if you finish your meal. So again, you want your child to have an acceptable alternative. So you have to be okay, remember, mutually agreeable to you and the child. And obviously, if the need is, I just want candy, because remember, the alternative always goes back to the original desire or want. So if the desire is have candy, then that is a different choice than the child is hungry and wants something to eat. The fruit would satisfy, I'm really hungry and I don't want to wait 30 more minutes for dinner. Candy satisfies the sweet tooth. So that will help you give that alternative based on why the child is actually wanting the candy. And there's a reminder there that pointing does help redirect the child's attention. So when you offer the alternative, it's always helpful to point so that they can see what you're referring to. So you would patiently restate that limit 3 times, just like we practiced a minute ago. So I know you'd really like to have candy, but candy's not for eating before dinner. You can choose to have it after dinner when you finish your meal. Then 3 times that's gone through, child is still begging for candy, child is still trying to put it in their mouth, whatever the scenario is. So here's your choice giving as a step for non-compliance. So having candy now is not one of the choices. That is a helpful phrase when the child keeps pushing and pushing and pushing for the original desire. No, but I want candy. I know that you want candy, but candy's not for having before dinner. You can choose to have it after dinner when you finish your meal. No, but I really want candy right now. And so that it doesn't just escalate and go in the same cycle again and again, you can just say, Billy, having candy now is not one of the choices. That makes it very clear that is not an option. But you do have other options. You can choose to give me the candy now and choose to eat it after dinner. Or you can choose for me to put the candy up and choose to not have candy after dinner. Which do you choose? Pause, give the child a moment to decide what the answer is going to be. Notice, if you choose to give me the candy, which takes away the temptation, which stops the power struggle. If you choose to give me the candy, you choose to have it later. If you choose for me to take the candy, which means you did not give it to me, you choose not to have the candy later. Which do you choose? Okay, so Billy says nothing. Either can't make the choice, doesn't want to make the choice, is still power struggling and resisting. So then at that point you say, if you choose not to choose, you choose for me to choose for you. Again, 4 chooses on purpose. If you don't decide, I'm deciding is not the same thing. If you choose not to choose, you choose for me to choose for you. Because again, not choosing is a choice. So then there are 2 possible outcomes. Billy gives you the candy. So you reflect his feeling and acknowledge the choice. I can tell that was hard. You've chosen to have it after dinner. I know that was a tough decision. You chose to keep it for after dinner. I'll put it up here. The other option is keeps holding on to the candy, which means he's chosen not to give it to you. So I see you've chosen for me to choose for you. And you take the candy away. Now, of course, it's probably going to lead to a meltdown. He's going to cry. He's going to beg. No, I was going to give it to you, whatever. Or after dinner, he says, okay, can I have the candy now? Because, well, you took it, so that means I'm saving it for after dinner. Here's one of the most helpful phrases you will learn through this training. Remember when you chose not to give me the candy before dinner? At that very moment, you chose not to have the candy after dinner. At that very moment is crucial. Because there will be many, many choices that your child will make as they grow up, as they're a teenager, as they're driving, as they're with their friends, as they're at a party, as they're in college. And the moment that they choose something is often a moment that changes the course of their life forever. And no matter how much they wish they could go back, no matter how much they wish they could do it over again, no matter how much they regret that moment because of what it led to, the decision was made at that very moment. So they need to understand the weight, the impact, the significance of that moment leading to a consequence. They choose to speed, and God forbid they get in an accident and someone gets really hurt. That moment that they chose to go too fast was the moment that they chose that outcome, no matter how much they wish they could go back. So remember when you chose not to give me the candy before dinner? At that very moment, you chose not to have the candy after dinner. And yes, probably pleading and crying and begging and all of the very sad emotions. The reason why they do that is because it's worked in the past. They learned that if I just get really loud, if I cry really hard, if I throw a tantrum, if I beg and plead, if I'm super nice, if I'm super sweet, if I say I'm sorry, they learn to negotiate and get what they want. So no matter what has worked for them in the past, with this process, you fall back on the choice that was made. You are firm. You do not give in. At the very moment that you chose not to give me the candy, it was at that very moment that you chose not to have it after dinner. And you can try again tomorrow. I know you're disappointed that you chose not to have it. You can try again next time. And you just continue to fall back on the choice that was made. So, now we'll do another real life practice like we did the play session practice. So it is a school night and your child wants to watch 30 minutes of TV before bed, even though it's already bedtime, because his favorite Charlie Brown special is coming on next. So it's not just that he wants to watch more TV, it's that it's his favorite show coming up. So you would follow ACT process. So think about your specific child, what their specific favorite show is, and write in an acknowledgement of feeling that you would say to your child when they want to stay up and watch 30 more minutes of TV. So that might be, I know you're disappointed that you can't watch Charlie Brown, or I know you love Charlie Brown. I know you're upset that it's bedtime. I know you wish you could stay up an extra 30 minutes. So many options there, because there's a lot that could be unpacked. Then you communicate the limit. Neutral, A is not for B, or X is for Y. So what would you fill in there? I know that you're disappointed that you can't watch Charlie Brown, but the most neutral would be it's time for bed. Then you're going to target the alternative. So what would be an alternative for the child to still have their need met, but comply with bedtime? So what would you say there? You can choose to what? You can choose to watch it tomorrow because I'll DVR it for you. Or you can choose to watch it tomorrow morning. You can choose to watch it tomorrow at lunch. There's lots of other options. It's not you can't watch it. It's just it's not for watching right now because it's bedtime. So all kinds of options you could put in there. Restate it 3 times. No, but I really want to stay up. It's my favorite. I love Charlie Brown. It's only 30 more minutes. I'm not going to wake up in a bad mood. I'll get enough sleep if I go to bed 30 more minutes. All the rationale in the world for why it's okay, right? So you're going to restate that 3 times. He or she still does not comply. So you are empathic, you are calm, but you are firm. And you say, I know that you really want to watch Charlie Brown, but it is bedtime. You can choose to watch it tomorrow. After you've done that 3 times, then we move into ultimate choice. So then you would say, if you choose to go to bed right now, you choose to watch this tomorrow. If you choose to continue asking me to stay up, you choose not to watch it tomorrow. Which do you choose? And there are other if-then choices that you could offer there, but it's helpful to remember, if you choose going to bed, and or if you choose to stop arguing, and or if you choose to stop asking, or if you choose to get in bed and go to sleep. Those are the positive choices and decisions. So then the positive outcome is you choose to watch this later. I know how much you love it. You're not wrong for wanting to watch it. It's just bedtime right now. So then obviously the opposite would be, but if you choose to continue to argue with me, continue to stay up, continue not to go to bed, then you choose not to watch it. Which do you choose? Okay, so I'm hoping that's settling in a little bit. Before we move to the next page, we're actually going to break. I think you may need a moment to kind of digest that and process. And in the next video, we'll actually talk about what to do if you decide that your limit needs some tweaking. And that is an important piece. So we'll actually cover that in the next video now that we've gone through the advanced limit setting. See you then.